You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
Football players have lots of cash. They spend it on cars and going out on the lash. They co-write a book about their interesting lives, even though they are only 25.
He shoots, he scores,
scoring the goals.
Dribble the ball, kick the ball to score a goal.
He shoots, he scores, scoring the goals.
Hello and welcome to the League Podcast with William Hill in association with the72.co.uk. I'm Alex Dunn and I've been joined by Jason Lewis to look ahead to the best of the action in Leagues 1 and 2. If you want to hear the best of the Championship action, then you'll find that on our sister podcast just above us here on the playlist. That's Pete Farries looking ahead to the best of the games in the Championship. But I'm Alex Dunn and I've been joined by Jason Lewis. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning, Alex. A bit earlier than normal, but hopefully maybe a change of fortunes. If it goes well, we can maybe make this a regular thing.
Possibly. But, we normally record about sort of 2:30, maybe 3:00 on a Thursday afternoon, but this time nearly 10:30. Or just gone 10:30, I should say, on Thursday. I must confess, you know, we're both, you know, young lads. Not normally a time that I will see all too often, and I think you're the same, aren't you?
Yeah, in the life of a uni student, 10:30 is probably like 8:00 for most people, especially on a Thursday after Wednesday night. We've got to be up, and I'm raring to go. I think we're going to have a good week, hopefully.
Good, fingers crossed. Last week, of course, Pete has extended his lead in the Naps table. He had a winner with Nick Blackman of Reading to score at any time, and two losers for us, and two pretty emphatic losers as well, weren't they?
Yeah, I did want to mention it, but Pete gave me some stick. He's really quite right. I had stick on Twitter the following morning. But contender for probably worst nap of the year early on. to bet for a team to win 2-0 and then to lose 2-0 and to lose 4-0. Mm. But it literally came out of nowhere, so it's just one of those things, really. But it was when I was going through the fixtures after I'd spent quite a bit of money to go watch my team lose 5-1 at the Etihad. Mm. To see the Burton had lost 4-0 as well. I was like, oh no, it's a bad day.
Maybe not the best Saturday you've ever had, but
no.
Well, it means that the only way is up and we can hopefully bounce back here. We'll get to your nap at the end of the podcast. I've napped in the Championship, as has Pete, but we'll get to those shortly. And we'll start in League One with... Well, we'll start with the lunchtime kickoff first, Jason. It's not on TV, but it's Sheffield United against Millwall. And Sheffield United are 19-20, the draw 12-5, and Millwall are 5-2. This game kicking off at 12:15 at Bramall Lane. And Sheffield United come into this in decent enough form. Their home form has been pretty strong of late. And we know that, you know, it's a hard place to go. Millwall have been in decent enough, Nick. They're in mid-table. You'd probably expect them to stay there, wouldn't you, Jason? But Sheffield United will have sights on maybe pushing up the table. As I said, they're currently in fifth, but they'll be looking for one of those two automatic spots come the end of the season. They're not a horrendous price either, 19-20. It's one of those games that people will probably be sucking into betting in, given it's the early kick-off and, you know, they could maybe boost their funds for the 3:00 games. Some of those games are sometimes risky propositions, but this one I'd expect Sheffield United to win this. I thought it was a fair price.
Yeah, I think it's a fair price, and I think they should expect to win this, and if they are the contenders for the promotion that everyone says they are, it's a game they've got to win, to be honest, at home. After back-to-back losses in September, I think it was, we covered it over the space of 4 days at home to Bury and Colchester. Emphatically won their last three at home, Doncaster 3-1 win, Rochdale 3-2 win, Fleetwood 3-0 win. All middling teams, or both Rochdale and Doncaster in the division. So when you look at Mill doing a similar sort of game, you'd fancy Sheffield United's chance here. And really, for me, it's a solid price. When I looked at League Two and there were the bigger teams were down at like sort of 8-13, so that's not really going to draw you in. But when they're still hovering around the even price mark here at 19-20, it's definitely a fair price. And I think when you look at the way Sheffield United play at home, it's just goals, 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 to be honest. And you look again at the over 2.5 goals, and that's another even fair price at 10-11, just the wrong side of the evens again. So they're both there. Sheffield United, 9 of 14 home games over 2.5. We spoke off air last week about looking at sort of when it happens more times than not. And also when you look at Millwall, more times than not, 4 of their 7 away games over 2.5. 7 of 13 games, over 2.5 overall. Sheffield United do know how to score goals in this division. So 25 already this season. I think the over 2.5 is there. If you aren't possibly necessarily pro Sheffield United and don't like backing the outright price there, you can either take just the over 2.5 goals or 10 to 11. But it seems common sense to back Sheffield United and the over 2.5 goals at a better price of 7 to 4. It's happened in the last... There's been over 2.5 goals in the last five home games. They've won the last three of those. So it just makes sense, really, to me, for that to happen. And Mill don't really have the best away record. They got beaten 5-3 at Peterborough a couple of weeks ago. And it's a difficult game for them. I'm backing Che Adams again this week to score in the game. He's got four goals in his last two home games for the Blades. And he's really stepping up now. And he's probably in contender for player of the month in the division if he gets another couple here, especially from the young lads. So any time 6-4 him to score, but I think it just makes sense to pair the over 2.5 and that Sheffield United win, even though they are both fair prices for what they are, but pair them together and you get an even better price of 7-4.
Okay, right, next up is Blackpool against Crewe. Blackpool are 21-20, the draw 12-5, and Crewe are in the betting at 9-4. A relegation six-pointer, I think it's fair to say, even at this stage of the season, Jason. Blackpool are 21st. Crewe are bottom of the table in 24th. But, that said, both sides have had a bit of an upturn in fortunes in recent weeks. Blackpool are now unbeaten in four. They beat Chesterfield and Swindon before drawing with Coventry and Millwall. They've only conceded one goal in those four games as well. So, things are perhaps picking up a little bit for Blackpool, but they do remain in the relegation places. As for Crewe, a win at Barnsley three games ago, then a home loss to Gillingham. That was a late winner.
Very
as well.
Very late, yeah.
For Gillingham. But then a 0-0 draw at Burton as well. Creditable draw as well, because not many sides will go there and come away with anything. So two sides who, despite the fact they are struggling, don't arrive here in the worst form ever. Blackpool, though, at 21-20. It's one of those bets that at the start of the season, if someone had said, you know, that we're offering you Blackpool at that price, you'd have gone, oh dear, because they did start the season horrendously. But this is quite a hard one to call, I'd say, Jason.
Yeah, it's very difficult to call, partly because where these teams are, sometimes they do turn up on the day and cause an upset, but also that they just probably they're not the worst of teams. I wouldn't say this is like Blackpool in this division or like Blackpool in the Championship. They've actually proven they can compete, and three, four games unbeaten shows that quite clearly for me. And at the same time with Crewe, when they've gone to Barnsley and won away, that was a sucker punch last weekend against Gillingham, to be honest. It was, I think it was 90+4 or something. Mm. Watching the goal back, it came from an error, and they really were unfortunate in that one after playing what was probably one of their better home performances in. And then show the character of Burton, and the stats in that game were quite ridiculous. I think Burton had something like 16 shots. But credit to Crewe, they did a job on them, got the point. And when Burton were coming back off losing last weekend, I was fearing there could be a backlash there and Crewe could be hit for three or four, but it's a solid clean sheet, and they've showed that they've possibly added this to get Crewe known for sort of playing a certain brand of football. And I think it's got to the stage now, after such a sort of slow start to the season, where they haven't thrown that completely out the window, but they've perhaps drawn it in slightly and made sure that they do have defensive solidity at the back. But then Blackpool have had that all season, to be honest, really, at times, when they are not obviously the most potent scoring team, but to only concede one goal in four games is a solid record for me. And when you look at it, really, five or seven home games for Blackpool have been under 2.5 goals, so they don't score that many goals and they don't concede many home. For Crewe, surprisingly, do better defensively away from home than they do at home, with five of their seven away games being under 2.5, and they've only conceded two or more on two occasions, which for a team bottom of the league, you'd think they're getting tonked. So I don't expect it to be an absolute classic game, but under 2.5 is there at 10 to 11 again, and I think I don't do it often, but I'll be backing the draw here. I think it's going to be very difficult to separate these two sides, and I think they might actually both could be all right if they can manage to just find a way of nicking games, which possibly Blackpool are starting to find out how to do. Crewe are probably a little bit behind them, but if they can both find a way, they seem to be able to shut out teams a little bit better now. They just need to find a way of scoring goals. It seems obvious it's the aim of football, but I think it's harder said than done at times. So for me, the draw here, big price always on the draw, but I don't really want to back Blackpool at that short price, knowing that they've only won three games this season. The same adage, Crewe have only won twice. And I just think 12-5 is possibly as safe as, well, not safe, but you'd be confident in the draw coming in here. And you could see it being goalless or just a 1-1 draw. And I don't think it really helps either team to an extent, but it certainly would be a fair result considering where both teams are. And I think goalless at half time, 2-1, if you're thinking a bit of a bold bet is there, just when you set two teams up like this that aren't the most free scoring, I think it can be a bit of a war of attrition. Mm. So goalless at half time, there, 2-1 is a possible bet. But I'm thinking a bit of a 6-pointer where it's actually just a split of the points. Oh, maybe, like I say, a low scoring draw. So 12-5 for me on the draw would be the pick.
Okay, Blackpool Crewe then to end in a draw at 12-5 there. And the final game in League One that we're going to look at is Swindon against Coventry. Swindon are 3-1, the draw 5-2, and Coventry are 10-11. Swindon have been in really, really poor form of late and now slid to 23rd, coming off the back of a frustrating home defeat against Oldham in midweek. And they play a Coventry side who remain up there with the pace. Yes, they've drawn two in a row and two nil-nils as well, which will be a little bit frustrating, but we know they do have goals in their side, and they now haven't conceded a goal for four games. So, you know, two different ways of looking at that, I suppose. Swindon have been fairly porous, have been letting in a few goals, and Coventry will fancy their chances here. Does 10-11 tempt you at all here, Jason?
It certainly does, to be honest, when you look at sort of the added stuff that's going on at Swindon at the moment, when they've sacked their manager, Mark Cooper, and the chairman's taken over to caretaker charge.
It doesn't inspire confidence, does it, really?
No, it doesn't. Swindon, the club that brought Paolo Di Canio into English football management, always have a bit of something going on with the club. And the chairman I looked at, it's Lee Parron. He's managed, obviously, an ex-player, so it's not like they've hired some businessman's gone in. It's not like Leeds where Massimo Cellino would have come in and taken over. It's not to that extent, but he's only ever managed one club. I think he was briefly in charge at Cambridge in 2005. He went from being a player to a football agent to boardroom, and obviously he's fancying himself as a bit of a coach. And he said it's only part-time, but while it remains part-time, I can't really see myself backing Swindon at all in any match that they find themselves up against. And 10-11, just the wrong side of evens for a Coventry side, but obviously back of two draws, Blackpool and Rochdale, not the best results. But I just think it just seems logical that Coventry are going to win this game for me. Just one defeat in the last six games, and they've only conceded three goals in that run if you extend it just about, and that includes a loss. So they may struggle to break teams down when they park the bus, but I think Swindon here will probably try and come out and give sense to it. It's only one win for them since the start of September, which is probably a logical reason why Mark Cooper's lost his job. And four losses in a row from their last four games, lost seven of their last eight. It's not really a great place to be. And one win at home all season, that was on the opening day, and they've kept one clean sheet. So everything points me towards Coventry in this game. It's just a case of hopefully can their goal scorers fire on the day, the likes of Adam Armstrong, can he get amongst the goals? But I just don't see Swindon scoring in this game. So also the fact that Coventry have kept four clean sheets. So I looked at the Coventry to keep a clean sheet, and that was their 8-5. And then it's only slightly bigger, but I just found this quite interesting myself, that Swindon under 0.5 goals, so Swindon not to score, is that better, unless I've read it wrong, 17-10. So slightly better, just marginally better. Adds a couple of pounds to your pocket if it comes in. Yeah, if you're playing the clean sheet for Coventry, just go down and find Swindon under or overs just on their goals and get them on under 0.5. It's a slightly better price, and that's where I'd be going in this game, because back-to-back 0-0 draws for Coventry, you might not be as confident as I am that they're going to get the win, but I've been very impressed with how they've done after sort of stuttering their way through September to put a little run of unbeaten games. They can go through the rest of this month unbeaten. They're going to be there or thereabouts is what I'd say. So Coventry win, a good price, but not backing Swindon to not score, but effectively Coventry to shut them out is the play I'd say at 17-10.
All right. Fair enough. That's League One done and dusted. We'll move to the action in League Two, and we'll start with Morecambe against Leighton Orient. The betting looks like this. Morecambe are 3-1. The draw is 11-4, and Leighton Orient are 17-20. Interesting one, this, because Leighton Orient I would have down as being favourites for this, but not to the extent that they are, if that makes sense. Morecambe come here off the back of three wins against Carlisle, AFC Wimbledon and Crawley. Plenty of goals in those games as well. In fact, if you look back at Morecambe's last five, we've had a 3-1 defeat, a 4-3 defeat, 3-2 win, 5-2 win and a 3-1 win. Going against the Leyton Orient side, who, to be fair as well, have been scoring and conceding in equal measure. And although both sides have started the season well and they're both in the playoff places as we speak, they need to tighten up at the back. But great to watch going forward. Maybe goals the order of the day here, Jason.
Yeah, definitely. We're coming to the goal straight away, really. You know, in case anyone was struggling to do the maths on those five Morecambe goals, that's games, it's 27 goals.
Incredible,
isn't it? In the case of five games. And then if you take the clean sheet out before that, they had a 4-2, a 2-1, a 4-2, a 4-1 and a 3-0. It's definitely goals at Morecambe. If you fancy, if you're in the area and you want to get some high quality entertaining football, get yourself down there. And Leyton Orient, they're saying that's 18 goals in their last five matches. So the over 2.5, not maybe attracting people at 7-10, but when you look at that, in all those Morecambe games, both teams have scored over 2.5 goals and both teams have scored even, it's probably, if you're a stats person, as solid a bet on that sort of market you're going to get in the leagues this week. So even money, I could definitely see that. And I'll be tempted with the over 3.5 goals possibly as well, but over 2.5 and both teams to score even money, the bookies have sort of beaten you to it slightly, but it's still a solid enough bet. But when we come on to the outrights, it's tricky when you say Leyton Orient are favourites in this game, because when you look at how they've been away from home, they've only won two away games all season. They haven't won away since August. They've lost 4-0 at Exeter at the start of September, drew 1-0 with Cambridge, 1-0 with Northampton, two very sort of all right, solid sides in the division, could be up there come the end of the season. Then lost at Crawley 3-2 and drew with Luton last time out. So they're not really smashing the teams away from home. They've sort of always been sort of regarded as a bit of a home team that get their form from their games. And we look at Morecambe, actually all themselves got more points away from home, and it was their first home win since the end of August in midweek over Crawley. But I just think 3-1 is possibly been a bit rude to Morecambe for how they're doing so far. A bit disrespectful. And when you can still get the draw no better at 2-1.
Off the back of three wins as well.
Yeah, exactly. It's just, it seems a bit dumb. When they're on the back of three wins. Leyton Orient have won one game in, was it, nine? Mm. And that was at home to Notts County. How you can say Leyton Orient are not necessarily favourites. They could, like you say, be favourites. But to be favourites at those prices, it seems a bit balmy to me. And the 2-1 draw no better, that Morecambe, when I looked up yesterday, I think they were around 13-5. So they're actually widening out and getting bigger. So 3-1 or 2-1 draw no better is just such a good price to me, that in any market where the team have won the last three games and you're getting 2-1 for them to win it and then you get your money back if they draw, that's just too tempting, to be honest with you. And that's the way I'd play this one. I can't see how you can back this Leyton Orient side that haven't been at all doing much away from home.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think Morecambe, it just doesn't really make sense that they are quite the price they are. They're arriving here in form, and, well, Leyton Orient just haven't been, have they?
As you said, it's pretty simple, really. If you're a form man, you'd be laughing at that 3-1 price. So
yeah, it's a strange one.
I wouldn't honestly want to jump at the 3-1, because it's Leyton Orient are a good side, and have done a chucked a few draws in a way recently, but to still get 2-1 on a team like Morecambe, I think it's just too good to turn down.
Okay then. Next up is Portsmouth against Mansfield. Portsmouth in second, Mansfield in fourth. They've had a really, really good season so far and surprised quite a few. Portsmouth, we did expect to be roughly where they are, though they do come off the back of a draw at home to Stevenage. You would have expected them to win that, and you probably expect them to win this as well, despite Mansfield's strong start to the season. Portsmouth are 8-13, the draw 13-5, and Mansfield 100-30. Still not a great price about Portsmouth, but as I said, they should be winning this, shouldn't they?
They should be, but whether they will is probably a different matter, the way they've been playing at home recently for me. I'm going down to the game at Fratton Park, and I've seen them lose to Exeter. I want to actually see if they have can sort of prove to me that they are the big guns that everyone says they are. And just when you look at how they've been doing at home recently, it is, on the face of it, as Paul Cook sort of rinsed the local reporter in midweek. It's one defeat in 14 games, so you can't really say that Portsmouth are going in the wrong direction. But when you focus just at Fratton Park, where you think Pompey, you think Fratton Park, you think tough place to go, you'll do well to get a point. They've two draws and a defeat in their last three games, and it just, it doesn't seem to, something just isn't clicking there. Paul Cook's admitted that, so it just doesn't seem to be like they sort of enjoying necessarily playing from the home ground. I don't want to say that in not a bad way, that they're scared or anything, but you just sometimes get those teams that at home sometimes they just struggle, especially when teams are going to go to Portsmouth. They're not going to come out and try and beat you with fast, free-flowing attacking play, because you'll get comfortably beaten, as some teams have found this season. But when teams go there with a game plan to frustrate, Yeovil have done it and Stevenage have done it in recent weeks, two sides at the wrong end of the table, they found they can get their reward. And Mansfield here again, it's a big price, but 10-3 in the outright, we draw no better than me, would be one to keep an eye on here. At the time of recording, we don't actually have the odds because there was a game in the league last night. But I can imagine if that Morecambe was 3-1 and then 2-1 draw no better, you're going to get a big price and draw no better on Mansfield. For when, in the face of it, four wins and one defeat in their last five games overall, they've got exactly the same record if you transfer that just to away games. And if you go last 11 league games in total, just two defeats, six wins, three draws, they've steadily been climbing up the table after a sort of stuttering start. And I think they're a team that's not to be underestimated. When you look, they're not really getting battered, and they've drawn with Plymouth, top of the league, and Oxford. They've got tough games to come, certainly Wickham and Northampton, either side of the FA Cup, the first round. But I just think here, it's difficult to want to back Pompey for me, knowing how Pompey have been doing recently, because I keep an eye on the club, that whether they've got just the ability to break down these teams at home. And Mansfield are no mugs, and I think they're going to set themselves up to be difficult to beat. And I'd just be tempted to take Mansfield draw no better. It might be a bit crazy to back against Pompey, who have only lost one game all season, but it just doesn't seem to be working. If you want a goal scorer, it'd be Matt Tubbs all the way, to be honest. If someone's going to score for Pompey, it was Matt Tubbs whenever he came off the bench when I was there. He completely changed the way they played. So he's there any time. It'd probably be around the even money mark. And if you're in pro Pompey camp, I'd chuck it on to get a win cast. But I'm not in the Pompey camp in this game, I'm afraid. I'd be Mansfield draw no bet, just because it's going to be such a big price when Pompey at home haven't been doing all that, really, to be honest.
Okay. No, fair enough. We're going against another Fav there in League Two. And the final game we're going to look at is Northampton against Stevenage. Northampton arriving in this game in fifth, and they've been in decent nick throughout the season, really. And they're always pretty solid at home. The Stevenage side, who, as we said, come here off the back of a good draw at Portsmouth. They've actually been beaten in three. They won at home to Wickham, and that away draw at Exeter as well, that was on TV a couple of weeks back. So they're actually in decent form themselves, Stevenage, despite where they are in the table. This is another big ask for them, though. They're priced about 13-5 as the away side. Northampton are 4-5, and the draw is 12-5. Which way do you see it going, Jason?
Well, it's a bit odd, really, because in those two previous games, I've gone against the favourites with sort of based purely on sort of recent form. But in this one, I just have to take Northampton, to be honest, with how they play at home. It's just the wrong side of even money. But when you look at how Stevenage are beaten in three games, but they could be turning around, but they've had a bit of luck in there, I'm going to be honest. When Exeter, they came back from two down. Obviously, it's great character, but sometimes you have to lay the blame on the team they're playing and say that Exeter should have shut that game out. The win against Wickham, if you saw it, I don't know if you've seen it, the keeper scored from a long punt upfield.
Yeah.
So any game where something like that happens is just pretty much a write-off again. It was a bizarre Saturday last week. And then they snatched a late game goal against Portsmouth when really they probably didn't necessarily deserve that at all. But again, great character. So it's how do you take it? You can even take one or two ways. You can say they're showing great spirit and they're proving now they are a bit more difficult to beat. Earlier in the season, they went four games unbeaten over August to September. And I said before that game against Wickham that they had these tough games and they get 3 points, they've excelled themselves. But they've already got four. So they've kind of got a free crack at this one against Northampton with a home game. Doesn't get any easier though. Home to Oxford next week before they play Yeovil, which is quite a big game with where Stevenage find themselves in the table. But I think Northampton here, 4-5, it's a good price. Three wins and a draw from the last four games. One defeat in seven games. It's a pretty solid bet, to be honest. I think it's one defeat in eight. Sorry, actually, I worked that out wrong. It's a pretty solid bet. And it just looks for me, and Mark Richards, I rave about Mark Richardson. He is the goal scorer at Northampton, and he's already got 6 this season, and he's got 3 goals in the last 4 matches, and he certainly enjoys playing at home, I'd say, for this Northampton side. He scores most of his goals at Sixfields since he joined in 2014 in the summer. So I think when we speak about this every time I talk about main goal scorers, but when Mark Richards scores, you'd say Northampton win. Mm-hmm. When Northampton win, you say Mark Richards scores, and so vice versa, both sides of the bet, really. So when they cut the price on him, so with as sure as it probably will be in this game, I'd take the win cost of Mark Richards any time and Northampton to win. Obviously, as I say, we don't have the prices yet, but I think that would be a pretty safe bet. But if you're wary of Stevenage and how they've been playing recently, I think both teams to score is a great route to go down in this game. When you look at Northampton recently, I think it's their last 7 games. You've got a 4-2, a 1-1, another 1-1, a 3-2, a 2-1, a 2-1, and a 3-2. And then Stevenage, obviously, those last 3 games, they're getting them back on the score sheet, but they still can't keep the goals out. But both teams to score here, if you don't want to take Northampton that short price, so you don't have the prices yet, but hopefully it'll be a fair price for what it is. But I'd say Northampton and Mark Richards win cost for me against the Stevenage side, who, after having a good recent run, are possibly just going to falter slightly before they have another tough game next weekend.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. Right then, that's League One and League Two done and dusted. We'll move on to the naps. Now, I mentioned that myself and Pete had already napped in the Championship. In a league podcast first, and I'd hope it's a one-off, we've actually napped the same thing. We've both gone for Leeds United, which in itself is perhaps a rarity. But we've both gone for Leeds away at Bolton at 2-1, just on the outrights. Just both chose it at the same time, really. It's not sort of one copying off the other. So we can't offer you the normal treble that we will on most weeks. So it's going to be a double. But at least you know that myself and Pete are equally keen on the side from Ellen Road going to Bolton and picking up the 3 points. So 2-1 there. What's your nap going to be, Jason?
I think we might have to dust out the old William Hill podcast rulebook just to check that's allowed. It's probably gathered cobwebs in the corner, but I'm not sure. We might have to get onto the big dog Lee Phelps and see if that's okay. But,
it is a rarity, isn't it? I mean, it's never happened before, happened that we've sort of said, right, okay, well, you can have that one and I'll go for this one instead. It's just, when we've got so many games to choose from, the fact that...
It's bizarre.
I mean, I've got the best part. I've got 30 games to go at, or more than that, actually. I've got 30-odd games to go at.
36 games.
And
the same bet.
I've managed to come up with the same one. And Pete, obviously you and Pete have got a slightly smaller pool to choose from, but... Well, we're both keen on Leeds, what can I say? Yeah. So 2-1 on that one.
It makes you confident, so if both of you are backing it, hopefully it comes in. If not, you both look like a bit like fools.
Exactly.
But we've all been made to look like fools. But the way you say it's a double, I think it's going to be a good double with the prices we're going to put up, because I'm backing Morecambe, draw no bet.
Okay.
I think the way they've been playing recently, heading in the right direction, and they're late in Orient side, that away from home, I never feel confident of late in Orient getting much of a result. So it's got 2 2-1s there on a double, and if it doesn't come in, and if Morecambe draw, obviously it voids it, so you get a single at 2-1. Could be a nice little earner with our two pundits backing both that one.
Yeah, of course. And it's an 8-1 double, but I mean, we've put up 8-1 trebles before, haven't we? So it's not, price-wise, it's a similar thing, and you actually need less to happen. So Morecambe at home to Leighton Orient, draw no bet, is 2-1. Leeds at Bolton is 2-1. They're the two that we fancy. Great stuff, Jason. Thanks very much for your time once again today. Been a pleasure talking to you, and we'll catch up with you next week.
Yep. We'll see you soon. Thank you, guys.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.